scriptures. I study seek the Lord and prepare to preach the messages that He lays upon my heart, never knowing what form of those messages I'm going to preach until I stand up here. Many times the Lord wakes me up Saturday night, and He has me working on that sermon in my mind, and it's not till then that He gives me clarity in the direction that He would have me to go in formulating the message. Sometimes we have the men's prayer group, and the Lord is still forming and directing, having me move things aside, add some things, and not knowing until I'm standing up here before you what the exact form of the message is the Lord would have us to preach. So if you don't pray for preachers, you ought to, in light of that's the difficulty every man of God goes through. Finding God's will, studying and preparing to preach the message that God has given you, and then the fine-tuning and the preparing, bringing it down to that moment of deliverance. Scared to death the whole time. Some would say, and I guess I would concede, that preaching is a little bit improved as far as nervousness is concerned. But after all these many years, I'm still nervous. I'm still scared to death. Still seeking the Lord. We want to always scoot out of the way and have people see no one but Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, our text from Luke tonight will be verse 20 through 37. And I think I've already done this 2 or 3 weeks ago. But notice in this 17th chapter of Luke, the texts that the Lord has had us preach from. I know I told you that in the Gospels, it's really easy to find the texts of the Gospels because so often they begin with black letter and then contains red letter, and then the next thought will have a black letter opening and then red letter verses. And in this 17th chapter of Luke, I would identify four proper texts. Four proper texts. Maybe five, if you consider 20 and 21 a complete text, and you could do that looking at it. or 6, you can look at verse 37 as kind of a text, a complete text. If you're going to preach, if you're going to teach, if you're going to study, it is good to identify the texts. It is good to see where the beginning is, the middle, and where the end is, and identify the complete text. Expository preaching is taking a text and identifying who's speaking, to whom are they speaking, what are they saying, when did the Lord say these things, and what is his message for us from the text. Once you have taken a text, identified a text, and really read it and studied it and understand it, then God may allow a preacher, a teacher, somebody in their studies to outline it with the traditional 3 points in a poem. But you need to know the text. You need to study the text, understand everything you can about the text before you get to that point of breaking it up into simple points. And in verse 20 through 37, we find the text that we consider tonight, and it is a very confusing text. As we try to examine who's speaking, of course, it's Jesus. It's all red letter, except for a couple sentences. But he speaks concerning the coming kingdom. They asked him in verse number 20, the Pharisees demanded of him that he tell them when the kingdom was going to come. And so some of what Christ says here in this text has to do with the coming kingdom. And hopefully you remember that Christ brought the kingdom. The kingdom of God was at hand when Christ was upon the earth because he brought it. He brought it with him. And that kingdom cannot be seen. Because it comes without observation, Jesus Christ says. The kingdom of God is within us, meaning that this kingdom that the Lord brought, that's still here today and will be realized during his millennial reign, is within us, meaning it's spiritual. So it's without observation or visible identification. It's spiritual because it's within God's people. And I kind of feel the need to point out to you that's not true of the Lord's church. The kingdom is without observation. The kingdom is within, or it is spiritual. It cannot be discerned with the physical eye. It's spiritual in nature. But the Lord's church is a local, visible, called-out assembly. Identifiable, touchable, feelable, joinable. It's the body of Christ. upon the earth, in any particular place where you find one of them. This text we're talking about tonight deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's verses here that are in application to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But before that can happen, verse 25 says, he must first suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. This passage of Scripture not only deals with the coming kingdom, or the kingdom as it had come, the second coming of Christ, but it also contains signs of the time, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Those are signs we can look for as we examine this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture calls us not to look back. And there's a lot of looking back. There's a lot of looking back in the lives of God's people. There's a lot of looking back in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of those who, according to the parable of Luke 8, began a journey but didn't continue and have pulled back. The Bible talks about the Lord's coming and one being taken and one being left. I read that passage of Scripture and I look out and I say, I wonder which ones are going to be left. I wonder who's not going to be taken. We need to make our calling and election sure and make sure it's not us. Let us not be so bold and brazen as not to examine ourselves. Let's go ahead and read it. It's the Word of God. It can't help but benefit us. With all this understood to a degree from the text, then we'll try to preach the simple points that the Lord has given us from the text and from actually three words in the text. Most of you will know what those three words are. Let's read verse 20 through 37. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under the heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone upon heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Did you see all of those various things we identified for you? You see any references to the kingdom? Any references to the second coming? The suffering of Christ before any of that can be realized? Do you see any reference to the signs of the times? Any encouragement not to look back, not to draw back, but to keep going forward? Any reference about one being taken and someone else being left in various applications? Did you see the three words? I have confidence in y'all. I really think most of you know what three words I'm talking about. But those three words are found in verse number 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Seems like this is in connection with what verse 31 says, when it says in the ending of verse 31, And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Let him not go back. Let him not look back. Remember, Lot's wife did that, and what the consequences were of her looking back. Genesis 19. First of all, tonight, we call you to remember that Lot had a wife. Her name is never given. God doesn't spend a lot of time telling us about her. But it does tell us he had a wife. Verse 15 of 19 Genesis. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, still lingering, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought him forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back. Remember, Lot had a wife. They tell me this is in the present imperative, meaning that the thought is keep on remembering. Don't just remember momentarily, but keep on remembering. As the days pass, as you grow old, keep on remembering. Lot had a wife. Remember Lot's wife. Keep remembering Lot's wife. And so Lot had a wife. And before we move along through our nice little orderly points, I have to beg, I have to plead, I have to proclaim, I have to ask you gentlemen tonight, when you remember that Lot had a wife, and these passages tell us about Lot's wife, I charge you, don't be a Lot. Don't be a Lot. Lot lost his wife. He lost his daughters. He lost his home. He lost it all to the world. And so as we remember Lot's wife, remember he had a wife, keep on remembering, and God keep us from losing our families down the same rat hole that Lot lost his. Because we're living in the same days that Lot lived in. Same kind of days that Noah lived in. And if we're not careful, we can lose it all. That which is priceless, that which is worth so much, we can lose it all. If we don't remember Lot's wife. Second thing we would tell you, ask of you, is to remember she was warned. She was warned. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, he's saying this to Lot, his wife, his family, as they have forcibly been removed from Sodom. When they brought them forth abroad, they said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape, don't look back. She was warned. They were all warned not to look back. Not to look back. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As the history of Israel is recounted a little bit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 5 tells us, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. With many of them God was not well pleased. Many of them were destroyed in the wilderness. That whole generation that came out with Moses was forbidden from seeing the promised land. They weren't allowed to go in. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. It's kind of saying, as we see here in a little bit, these things are written for our learning. Remember Lot's wife. This is written for our learning. Let us not be a Lot. These things are written for our learning. Keep on remembering Lot's wife. These are written for our learning. Let us not lust after the same things they lusted after. Let us neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. See, that's a New Testament passage of Scripture concerning a time and a behavior and an action that people dismiss because it's an Old Testament passage. But here, we're told not to lust after the evil things that generation lusted after, those people lusted after. Let us not be idolaters as some of them were. They sat down to eat and to drink, to rise up to play and to party. Let's learn from them. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world is come. That's our generation. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember, Lot had a wife. Remember, she was warned. And remember, she looked back. She looked back. And God would have us to learn from her mistake. That's why those three words are in our text tonight. Those three words in our text, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember she was warned, and she still looked back. We are warned through their example, by God preserving the record in Holy Scripture, we are called upon to learn from Lot's wife. She looked back. She looked back. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35 through 39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. A little while, He who is coming will come. Let us not be weary, but let us be patient. Keep on keeping on. Let's remember Lot's wife and not make the mistake of looking back, drawing back, turning around from the direction that the Lord has called us to go in. We're not of those who draw back. It's not supposed to be our style. It's not supposed to be our way. I think the exhortation of Scripture is don't look back and long to be there. Amen. That's what Lot's wife did. Remember Lot's wife. He had a wife. She was warned. She was told. They were all told not to look back. She looked back. And she longed to be there. I believe the record would teach us that Lot's wife and his daughters liked life in Sodom. They liked that life. They were regretful for having to leave that life. She couldn't help but turn around to look and see what was happening to that life that she had left behind. She not only looked back, but she longed to be there. And how many of God's people profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are constantly looking back and long to be where God brought them from? Long to be a part of that world that He has saved us from. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, she loved the world and the things of the world. She loved the world and all of its things. And her actions reflect what was in her heart. Her actions reflect what was in her heart. She looked back because she longed to be there. She looked back reflecting what was in her heart. What was in her heart? Remember Lot's wife. Fifth of all, remember where she is today. Remember where she is today. Genesis chapter 19. Revelation 19. Verse number 26, but his wife, Lot's wife, remember Lot's wife, remember he had a wife, remember she was warned, remember she looked back because she longed to be there. Her actions reflected what was in her heart when she looked back. But Lot's wife, his wife, looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. The exact location of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is speculative. If you can find a place that resembles a plain, the Bible says Lot looked towards the well-watered plains of Sodom and longed to be there and went that way. If you can find something that looks something like a plain, a flat area, that is a wasteland filled with sulfur and brimstone, a lifeless, desolate area, you could be looking at Sodom. I have seen some who speculate where the location is. Most everybody agrees that it was close to the Dead Sea, and maybe for a long time was overtaken by the Dead Sea, and maybe only in recent days is the water receding from the Dead Sea, where maybe its location could be found. It doesn't matter, because God doesn't tell us to remember where Sodom and Gomorrah was. God tells us to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Remember where Lot's wife is today. All we know about her, she looked back. Of all the people that are mentioned in the Bible who are mentioned by name, people who you wonder why in the world God would have their name recorded and maintained, Lot's wife, her name isn't even mentioned. We're just told she looked back. We're just told to remember she looked back. We're just told that God rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. It's a sulfur wasteland wherever it is today. God overthrew those cities and all the plains and the inhabitants of the cities. And Lot's wife's name isn't given, but we're told she was turned to a pillar of salt. I can remember having, I don't know what you would call it, my grandma gave us kids a modern soft bound version of the scriptures, and as it had the scriptures, it had pictures and images alongside with maps and what have you of different locations that we read according to scripture. And I can remember, I don't know if this is still up in the attic or not, but I can remember a picture, and it showed these pillars that were found over in this part of the world, and they were all salt. And I think the claim was made that that possibly could be where Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. I don't know how they arrived at that. But I wouldn't be surprised to find that somewhere in the land around where Sodom and Gomorrah might have been located, that you might still be able to find a pillar made entirely of salt that cries out to all those who see it, not knowing what it is, who cries out, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now we know her soul is not somewhere over there. We're talking bodily. We know a soul, when it dies, when the life leaves the body and the soul dies, you go to that place of eternal dwelling of the dead to await the Lord's coming. But in a way, we're called to remember Lot's wife, remember where she is today, bodily, where she is still today, and remember she loved it there. She loved it there, and she got to stay there. Remember Lot's wife. Let's stand.